DeBasiosi. I was right on it, by the way. Right, you agree with me. DeBasiosi is just, you know, the basis of the rush. The riff is the diok. And then you can make the same diok from the Rambam. And I thought that to be very problematic. Very quickly, let me just read you. Do people here see the Beis Yosef? Shin. What is it?
Shin
and Dal. Yes. Yes. The Geneva starts in Shin Mem Ches, which is why in the Shulte Agiborim, when he tells you that it's Simon Shin Mem Beis or something like that, you know, this is Tov Sofer. Of course, fine. Maybe he said Shin Mem Dalid. So here, in the Beis Yosef, this I'll do very briefly, so if you don't have it in front of you, it's not a big deal. He writes, Masha Kasa Rabbeinu v'kichasha upitma, d'havem imeilu ki yukru v'zulu dami adkan, m'chisha hu m'shalim akol ha-keren, v'akeipa barba chamisha kishas ha-geneva, v'perek meruba. So aha, the Amar Rab Keren Kein Shaganav, that's what it was stated in reference to. Tashlum ekeipa barba chamisha kishas ha-mada b'din. Amar Rav Sheshes, amina kinayim v'shachiv Rab, amel ha-shmaitse de Tanya, Kusha Vishmina Masham Tashlum Kepa Baba Khamisha Kane Shaganav. So Aram Yishim Damalay, Anam Patim Natvat Shaklis. So Tashma Shemina Khisha Masham, this is just the Gemara. Masham Tashlum Kepa Baba Khamisha Kane Shaganav. Hasanam Yishim Damina Le Malikatla Kula Malikatla Palga, Kikama Rabbi Yukra Vizula. So that's the beginning part of the Gemara. Those of you who haven't really never read Beis Yosef before, you start to get an appreciation of what he does. Because what does he do? He quotes and he quotes and he quotes. So the truth is, when you learn your Adea, we learn any halacha, you're always much better off reading the Gemara first. But even if you haven't read the Gemara, if you're smart enough, you can usually get most of it from reading the Beis Yosef. Incidentally, the Ramah also wrote a sefer like this. You know what it was called? Darkei Moshe. It's called the Darkei Moshe Arach. How are you feeling, by the way? You right? He didn't write the Darkei Moshe Arach. He wrote the Darkei Moshe. But apparently, when the printers printed it, so much of it overlapped with the Beis Yosef. And therefore, they decided to abridge it. And sometimes in abridging it, they made mistakes. But they have reprinted the Darkei Moshe Arach separately. I think the fancy tour may also print the Darkei Moshe Arach, but it's been printed in separate volumes even before that. So you have the Darkei Moshe Akatzar, or Darkei Moshe, on the bottom of the page of the tour Beis Yosef. It tends to be very short, but it's still only what he supplements to the Beis Yosef, but there really is a longer version. And when it came to writing the Shulchan Aruch, and I've said this before, but I don't remember when, so it's worth saying it again, the Mechaber beat the Ramah to the punch, and he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah came along, and what did he do for the Shulchan Aruch? He gave it a tablecloth. And hence the name of the Sefer that the Ramah wrote is called the Mapa. Okay? So that is the Shulchan Aruch and the Mapa. When you learn Halacha, if you ever learned Shulchan Aruch in high school, I don't know how many you did because often they use Chayadah, but if you learn it, no one tells you these things. I don't know where I sort of, probably I read in the Art Score Rishonim book, or something like that. But anyway, so the basic, what's that?
The Ramah that we have that's in the Tzrinnes Haggah, that was written as a separate statement.
No, I didn't say that. No, so that was written. No, my point is that the Darkei Moshe was written as a separate sefer, probably, I think, to the Torah. But the Ramah, the Mapa was written for the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know, but it's possible. I don't know. I don't know. It could be. I'm not sure about that. I'm not saying not. I'm just. I'm sorry. I'm just going to comment. I won't say anything further on this. You know, so one might be a little skeptical that the author of the Shulchan Aruch was a person who reputedly had a burn on his shoulder that, you know, would speak to him. However, I should say that with the exception of one halacha that I'm aware of, I know nowhere except for one halacha where you see the influence of the Kabbalah on the Mechaber. The Magen Avraham quotes the Zohar right and left and introduces a lot of stuff. The Mechaber, to the best of my knowledge, follows straight, normal halachic processes. The only exception I'm aware of is Tefillin Chol HaMoed. The only exception. In fact, a number of years ago, I started wearing Tefillin Chol HaMoed once I sort of realized what the origin of the practice was. And the Ramah says you do wear Tefillin Chol HaMoed, just as you make the bracha so that other people don't hear it. In fact, I heard from Rabbi Simon, someone had asked me in shul, had asked me, what was this business that I heard about Satmar Hasidim, that when they're single, they wear Tefillin, when they get married, they don't wear Tefillin. And so I had no idea. I asked Rabbi Simon, he said, yeah, because in Satmar, they're knowing that you don't take on Minhage Kabbalah until after you get married. And the basis of not wearing Tefillin Chol HaMoed is the Zohar, which says that a Mevazeh Samoados, is Chol HaMoed. I noticed that lots of Balabatim are very happy to take on, you know, the Mechaber Shita here and the Zohar Shita, not wanting to fell Chol HaMoed, but they still go to work. But the truth be told, if you're buying consistent, if you go to work on Chol HaMoed, you should probably wear tefillin. Anyway, if you're not gonna go to work, you're not gonna tell you can. What's that?
I think it's just a common custom that's come down through.
Yeah, but it's spread out in one direction only. In other words, I when I grew up in the shul I grew up in, a lot of people wore tefillin. I didn't. I look around in shul, you know, this Chol HaMoed, and then maybe like five of us in shul wearing tefillin.
I know, like the warriors, the custom is to wear tefillin.
And everybody wears tefillin.
Yeah, right.
On yes. Chol HaMoed in public.
Of course you wear in public.
No, is that not your time?
In Israel, you don't wear it's
fine. In Sephardim, right, do it more often. In Sephardim, in public, like almost no one.
Do they wear it in private?
If you're very controversial, but otherwise most people know. Not officially.
Okay, so it makes sense. So the Mechaber Paskins that way. That's the only place I know, though, that the Mechaber had the influence of Kabbalah. And I understood you were joking, but Ben?
I don't know how we could start today without explaining what the day is, the name of the day.
Are you supposed to remind me about that? Yes, happy Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. And for those who don't know,
Mar Cheshvan.
For those, didn't I say this in Shul yesterday?
No.
Last year?
Which is why.
I never when I said why pizza.
Let's just call it Cheshvan because.
Did I say about Tishrei? Oh yeah. So all right. Oh, that's why. Okay. So all right. I'm sorry. Mafsik with a tiny bit about Tala. Please make it your regular habit when you see publications come from shuls and schools and it says Chodesh Cheshvan. Please send it back with a polite request to correct it to Mar Cheshvan. Part of this problem is, I don't know, it's probably, I think it's Israeli teachers, the Narish guide that somebody teaches you that it's called Mar Cheshvan, because either he's bitter because he have no Yom Tovim, or because he's, or could we call him Mr. Cheshvan to make him feel good? For those of you who haven't heard this already, one of the things about urban legends is that when you actually cut into them with a scalpel, they make no sense whatsoever. Because after all, you'd rather be Chodesh Tammuz, where you have the Yerushalayim's broken through, and you're named after a Babylonian god, Tammuz. So you'd rather be that, or you'd rather be Av, which is the worst day of all of Klal Yisrael throughout its history. You know, or of course there's Iyar, right? Because Iyar is really Kuzio Matzmor. I'm sorry, I mean that's not an anti-Zionist statement. So Bnei Akiva people, please take no offense. No, so it makes absolutely no sense.
But all these bad days are ultimately going to be uplifting.
That's what they say, but you still rather be called Tammuz, right? Avodah Zarah is not being purified. So the truth is, the name Mar Cheshvan is simply the result of two different metatheses of letters. Remember, it's a Babylonian word originally. It happens to be, coincidentally, two letters actually, not swapping places, but they each swap to the other one. A mem and a vav, which are both letters formed by the lips. The osi is bumaf, if you're, you know, that's why they all get u in front of them. And in the case of Mar Cheshvan, the mem was originally a vav, and in Cheshvan, the vav was originally a mem. And when you flip them around, you wind up with Warach Shamnu, which is Yerach Shemini, the eighth month. And in fact, if you just count from Nisan, you will see that Mar Cheshvan is in fact the eighth month. That's why if you take out your Bar Ilan and do a search even on the printed text, forget the Kisveyad, you're looking at printed text, do a search on the entire, what do they call that first category? You know, Mikra Mishnah, Midrashim, is it Chazal or something like that? Look on the entire thing, you will not find a single occurrence of the word Cheshvan. It is always one word, Mar Cheshvan. Even in the printed Shulchan Aruch, it's like 8 out of 9 times or something like that, it's Mar Cheshvan. And only when people sort of didn't realize, you know, stop following tradition and started being maskilim, and they figure, oh, Mar Cheshvan, two words, that you wind up with this bilbul and this narishkeit. But Mar Cheshvan is in fact Yerach Shemini. One other interesting he'ara, which I don't always say with this, but I heard from Professor Barashir, and I probably didn't say it last year because I hadn't heard it yet, is even though when's the beginning of the year, you know Chazal have a debate whether or not it's Nisan or Tishrei, Rav Shur, Rav Lezer. And in fact, for different halachic purposes, some things Nisan is Rosh Hashanah, some things Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. However, what Barashar pointed out is that even in the Babylonian system, there really were two Rosh Hashanahs. There was Nisan was a Rosh Hashanah, because you can see Mar Cheshvan is Yerach Shemini, and that only makes sense if Nisan is the first month. On the other hand, what's the name for the seventh month? Tishrei. What does Sharei mean in Aramaic? There's two meanings. One is to permit, but the other one is to begin. Az huchal likro b'shem Hashem is az shiriyu. They began to call whatever L'kro B'Shem Hashem means. Tishrei means the beginning. Now, what he suggested, a brilliant, that's not, I mean, that's obvious, but his brilliant ha'ara was the pasuk in Yechezkel, which bothered Chazal, B'rosh Hashanah Be'asar L'chodesh, in Yechezkel Mem, the last part that describes the future Mikdash. So Chazal said, well, if it's Rosh Hashanah, so then it's not Be'asar L'chodesh. So they say, it must have been a Yovel year, when Yom HaKippurim is also a Rosh Hashanah, because we blow shofar on that Yovel and so on. So Barasher suggested that Pshat in the Pasuk is very simple, that Berosh Hashanah is simply a reverse Aramaism. It's a translation from the Aramaic. And all the Pasuk really means to say is B'tishrei Be'asar L'chodesh. Because what does B'tishrei mean? It means Berosh. It means at the beginning. It's Berosh Hashanah. It's absolutely, I don't know if it's right. There's no way to know whether it's right. It's brilliant. So anyway, that's what Berosh Hashanah Be'asar L'chodesh means. But anyway, you can see in the names of the months that they're really two different Rosh Hashanahs. And at the end of the day, apropos to Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, it is Mar Cheshvan. And please make it a minor crusade in your life, because I can't stand getting this stuff home like this. I'm... Excuse me. I will tell you, I believe only about six of the months are mentioned in Tanakh, the Babylonian names. Obviously, in the late books, Cheshvan is not, Mar Cheshvan is not one of them that's mentioned. Nisan is mentioned, Tishrei is mentioned, Adar is mentioned. You have to, I have it somewhere written down where you can find out which months, but it's about half of them are mentioned. The Babylonian names, right? And those obviously are Babylonian names, even if you're from, because the Gemara, the Yerushalmi Rosh Hashanah says that Shmos Chadashim Alo Imami Bavel. Okay, so in case someone challenges you, so they should know it's Yerushalmi that says, In Tanakh you only have, other than numbered months, you have B'Yerach Esanim, you have B'Chodesh Ziv, and you have B'Yerach Bol. Okay.
Presumably it's Cheshvan.
Mar Cheshvan, yeah.
Cheshvan.
What's that? No, Yerach Esanim Bechag. It's Tishrei. It means Yerach Shemini, Warach Shamnu. Vav Resh Chesh Shin Mem Nun. Imagine the Vav and the Mem. They don't switch places. Each one switches to a different labial letter. It happens to be the other one. So Vav becomes a Mem. So now instead of Vav Resh Chesh Warach Yerach, you have Mem Resh Chesh. And now instead of Shin Mem Nun for Shmona, you have Shin Vav Nun. Mem Resh Chesh Shin Vav Nun. Mar Cheshvan. It's not a metathesis. The letters are too far apart. It's just a function of both. You don't know why do some things switch, to phonemic equivalents, and why others don't. Who knows? I don't know. But anyway, so it's not a swap places. It's two individual changes.
This would have been the occasional name as well.
Yeah, I mean, in some form, yes.
As opposed to saying it was originally Warach Shmandu, and now in Hebrew it became Warach Shwan.
I don't know how it came into the Hebrew, whether it came in with the swap or it came in like it wasn't the Akkadian and the Babylonian. And it says Akkadian.
Did you change the
parameters? No. Come on. That's enough.
Fine. I just wanted to know.
That's enough. Kidding. No, you didn't miss anything. Okay. Fine. So anyway, the Beis Yosef. So now that, okay, now we suffice with the very Torah Shel Batala. Now let's please return to the Beis Yosef. The Kasav HaRosh. The Rush writes that Kachasha de Mela Vishivcha de Mela, Le Inyan Karen Ki Yukra Vizula Dami, Ukusha Vishmina, Bain Le Inyan Karen, Bain Le Inyan Kafa Vadahim Shalm Kanchagana, Damarle Anam Fatuna Chalkas, Vachain Shmina Vachisha Misham Kanchagana, the Malikat Akula Malikat Apalga. Uben his partner Mela, he writes, Kasubatosos, he quotes that part, and then he says, and this is all just quoting, he then goes on to say, he quotes the Rif. Rav Alfas Kasav Daka Chusha Veshmina Mishalim Kefil Dav Hei Ken Shugana Mishum Damal Yanaf Mfatim Nevat Shakal Usvar Didei Mishum De Kaimel An Alacha Krab Ila Da Omar Gunav Tilev Nasa Ayleg Nasa Shur Nasa Shina Biyadu Gno Tavach Umach Shal Tavach Shalom Ocher Vechevan Da Alacha Krab Ila Leysa Lahad Rav Chanina Da Amat Torah Gan Viminach Okay, Vahad Mishalim Tashlim Kefil Ken Shugana Mishum De Kanyi Bishina Vo Pitan De Mimein Mishalim Ke Dahashta Gee, doesn't say just like Yukra Vezula Vahachi Mistaber Adkan Lashona. Now, how did the Beis Yosef understand the Rush's Raya? So this is the part, up until now you've seen, he just quoted, Gemara Rush. V'ramam v'perek alf mehilchas gezeh l'kasav baraisa the gun of kusha v'shmina v'shmina v'chisha m'shalim tashlub kehifal dal v'hei k'shas geneva. A, he quotes that baraisa. B, now notice though the Ramam does not quote the reasons, I believe. I don't think so. He doesn't say danafatimna. He doesn't quote, he just quotes the din. That, and that, by the way, is important because it undermines most of the argument you could even make that the Rush makes on the Rif. In other words, if you quote the reasons of anamifatimna, va'at shaklis, or malikal akola, malikal apalga, so then you have an argument as to why it's limited to pitum biyadayim and kachasha biyadayim, as opposed to nispat mameleh and hochasha meleha. As you could argue in the Rif, like the Rush does, for a different reason, that the Rif quotes the reasons of the Gemara, and the reasons of the Gemara are limited to situations of when you mefatim it or when you machish it. But they don't apply by when it happens on its own. That's what Tosa struggled with. What does malikat lakul malikat lapalga mean? Is that reason only applicable to shini biyadayim or even to shini memela? But you could read the Rif as quoting those reasons and say, you see, the fact that the Rif quoted the reasons means that only when those reasons apply does the din of Ein Shaganav apply. But otherwise it would be like Yoker Vizula. But the Rambam, note, does not quote the reasons of the Gemara. And therefore, the sole basis you had for really making an argument in the Rif, I think, doesn't even exist for the Rambam. But the Beis Yosef says that the Rambam quotes the Braisa, the din when kusha v'shmina shmina v'chisha, which is biyadayim, that you pay kishas ageneva, and uposa k'rav illa, the amar gun of tlev v'nasa ayil, egel v'nasa shor, nasa shina biyadim k'nao, uchafima shediye karosh midivrei harif, the savar, the leisa, the rabbi chanina, hachinami yikalamedach midivrei harambam zal. Okay, so we didn't think yesterday that the Rush's diuk was a very good diuk. I think it's even weaker in the Rambam. I assume I didn't check.
I think that it's difficult to read the Rush as saying that that's the source for it.
Okay, that's another, but that's all the Rush says. You're right. All right, so we pointed out yesterday. Yitzi noted that it sounds like the Rush had a different gears in the Rif, where he said something befavorish about the difference between this Patma Me Leha versus Pitma.
Even if you're going to say it's a Diyok, the Diyok can't be the same thing that the Rush is. The Rush makes it sound like this thing about Abila is the reason that the Rif says that, not the source that the Rif says.
Okay. So I have to say, Bechala, you know, in this particular case, I hope as a Dayan I wouldn't be confronted with the case of this is a very interesting question, halachic methodology. If I had the liberty as a Dayan, I had a case, well, why wouldn't you have a case come in front of you? So it's moot. Why would you never have such a case? Nowadays, why would you never have such a case? Why not? I'm not a Dayan, okay. And you don't have animals, but there are people with, there are Dayanim and there are people with animals. Why not? You're not going to knas bizman hazeh. There are nafkaminas though. There still is an nafkamina.
Machas martyrs.
No, itafas lamafkinan mine. Could be an nafkamina. Okay, so lu yitzuyer that I had such a case. What would I do? I'd have to say, since I can be brave, since it's never going to happen, and I think I would follow the sheet of the Baalei Tosos, not the Shulchan Aruch. I think there's no basis for saying that the Rif says it or the Rambam says it. The Rush says it, okay, so it's a machlokas, the Rush against more other Rishonim. Tosos, Rashba, Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz, all say against the Rush's Maskana. And I don't think the Rif and the Rambam at all. And by the way, what is the Mechaber's rule of thumb, which he doesn't really follow, actually? I mean, he doesn't always follow. What's the Mechaber's rule for Psak Alaha? Majority of the big three, and the big three are the Rush, the Rif, and the Rambam, which ironically realizes why you needed a mappah for the Shulchan Aruch, for the Ashkenazim, because that's already stacking the deck, since the Rambam and the Rif only disagree, you know, about 30 places or something like that, and that being the case, it basically means that the Rambam in Rif position always wins, because they're two and the Rush is one. Well, in this particular case, it would be three against nothing. But except for that, I would argue that it's really two against one, or two neutral and one one direction, and then a whole bunch of Rishonim disagree with the Rush. So, yes, Chaim.
Isn't really that thing a stretch to say what the Rush side is saying? It seems to be that the Rush is just basing it on the fact that the Rish was probably like.
Yeah, but we explained the Tosis also knew that the Tosis also holds like Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Allah. Yes, there's a stum in the Gemara later. I mentioned this yesterday. The Sugya de Alma Paskins like Rabbi Allah, Rabbi Allah. right? The Gemara in the beginning of a Gozel that says, "Kol gazlan misham l'shas ha'gzela, the rabbas had the ravila," you know, which is "ganav tlev anasa ayil shor egel anasa shor nasa shu nevi kano." So the and so, in fact. Right. So everybody holds that way. The issue, the machlokas between Tosis and the Rush, I didn't say this. I alluded to this yesterday, but I didn't spell it out. The Rush understands that the machlokas of Ila and Rav Chanina really centers around, it's almost a twofold machlokas. I would say it like this. The machlokas is whether or not you can say a svara of Torah ganvei minach, dechor ganvei minach. Remember, Chanina's argument, what was the crux? The problem in the sugya was as follows. The problem was you had a brisa that said that if you steal a tleh and it turns into an aisle, that you pay, and you shecht it, you pay dalit vehei, and you pay kishas haganeva. I mean, you pay five tlehs, you don't pay five elim. So the question we had basically was the following. It was a question for everybody. If Tlev and Asa Ayil is not Kone, it's not called a Shinoi, and it's not Kone, so I understand that when the Ganav shechts it, it still belongs to the original owner, and therefore he has to pay Dalet Vehei. But the question is, why does he pay Dalet Vehei Kidamei Kara? He should pay Dalet Vehei of what he shechted. He should pay Dalet Vehei of a fully grown Ayil. Certainly if you hold like Rav, and to some extent even if you don't. Even if you don't, you should pay Karen of a fully grown aisle, maybe like Rabba. Rabba said that if you steal a barrel when it's worth one, and then it appreciates to four, and you smash it, and slaughtering it is smashing it, so you pay four for the Karen. So here you should pay the Karen of an aisle, and you should pay Kefo and Dalvehe of an aisle. Because, as Rav says, Kefo Dalvehe Kishasa Mada Bedin. And if you want to say that Ganav Tlev Anasa Ayil, if you want to say that it really is a Kenyan, so I understand why you pay Keren and Kefel Kishas Haganeva, because you stole it as a Tlev, but a Shinui happened, and therefore you're Koned. But then you should be Potter, like Ravilla says, on Dal Vehei. You should say, Nasa Shinui Biyada Ukanao, Shalo Utoveh Shalo Mocher, and you don't pay Dal Vehei. That Brisa was the problem. How you could pay Dal Vehei, but pay the Dal Vehei on the valuation of the original basis. That was the major problem. That was the Rav Chanina's kasha against Rav Ila. But it's a kasha against Rav Chanina too. Now, what did Rav Chanina say the teretz was? He said the teretz was that basically it's not called the shinui. You're not konet, that's why you chay dal vehei. Oh, why don't you pay dalet vehei? Like the shas hamod abedin at the end. The answer is because you can turn to the owner and say, Torah gan pay minach, dechmi gan minach. How can you pay me 4 or 5 what I stole, make me pay off something I didn't steal? I didn't steal an aisle from you. I stole a tleh. And so you can't make me pay 5 elim. I'll pay you 5 of what I stole. The original object, the original Karen, you might pay like that of an aisle because the aisle still belongs to him without a shinoi, and therefore you killed his aisle. But what he stole was a little shepsula. He stole a little calf. He didn't steal a big cow that you're going to make him pay 5 cows, one plus the four. That's the way Rabbi Chanina explained. That's the way Rabbi Chanina explained the Brisa. Now, what did Rav Ila say to him? He said, "You're an idiot. Rachmana nitzla midaita dahai. God should save us from you." And Rav Chanina responded by saying, "Rachmana nitzla midaita dahai." Okay, there's that little trash talking. So basically, now the question is, what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas? So the Rush between them. The Rush thinks that the Nekudas HaMachlokas is whether or not you can say Torah Gan V'Minach or Dichar Gan V'Minach. Now, the Balei HaTosfos say that's not true. The Balei HaTosfos would say, what was Rav Ila's answer? What was his actual answer about the Brisa? Mishabeshtahi. It's an errant Brisa, but the Gemara doesn't accept that teretz. It doesn't accept that teretz, and therefore it searches for funny kind of teretz, which we I don't know if we spoke about it, actually. V'dilma mishabeshtahi. Yeah. No? No, it doesn't.
That's where we make up the new Gemara.
That's, I have to make it up. No, then the button, who says it? No, what did we show? One second. That's funny. He doesn't say. You know who said? Who asked that question? The Rashba asked a question. He says, "What's the kasha according to?" Oh, I see where he gets it from. So Rabbi, no. So the point is, I'll tell you what Rabbi Yilah says. I'll read the Rashba says. Rabbi Yilah says that the Braisa is Misha. He does say it's a Mishabeshta. He doesn't say it in those words, but he says basically that the Braisa is a stirim and obey. He says, if you are right, then you pay. He'd say that. So the Rashba, you're right. So the Rashba, I jumped at the Rashba says, he asked a question. Mikoma kom kasha, klama the Rabbi Yilah. Kasha li maika mashu in the Rabbi Yilah, the holy day, mishabeshtahi. Uchada amar le Rabbi Hanina, elamai lo kona yochei lishalim ki hashta, kolomar de mishabeshtahi. He doesn't say it, but basically says, the Braisa is inherent contradiction, therefore you can't bring any rayas from it. So you're right. He doesn't say it befeirish. I forgot the klomar word in there. But the Balei HaTosos say, they would say, and this is what the Pepuach HaRifta points out, that what is the nekudas hamachlokas between Rav Illa and Rabbi Chanina? Whether or not this is called a shinoi. They're not arguing about whether or not shinoi is kone. In other words, the teretz that's given in this bright, the teretz is whether or not the Gemara gives the teretz for Rav Illah. The Gemara gives the teretz for Rav Illah that it's Peshitas Beishamah that Shina is not Kona. Rabbi Chanina doesn't have to give that teretz. He would say that it's not called a Shinoi. Why is it not called a Shinoi? Why is Tlev and Asael not called a Shinoi? What's that? No. That's why it's not a Shinoi Hashem. Right. In fact, Eyal, you had said that originally, right? I want to just read to you the words of Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says, Im kein lo chashiv shinoi le'inyan l'shalu mekin demikar l'Rav Illah, lefi she'osav shinoi haya omei lava o mishas geneva she'sofa ligadel u'vele ha'osei shor. As he introduces that, he's saying it in a slightly different context, but that's basically is the argument why it's not called a shinoi. Now it's something that is a part of the natural process of growth, so it's there already. The potential is there already, and basically it happens on its own, and that's not called a shinoi.
The same thing.
No, that's Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. They argue about whether Shina is Kona, but they agree. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? What do you mean?
That's the way the Gemara responds on Tamach Bavah.
Yeah, no, they say Ad Kan Lo Pligi Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. El the Mar Savar. That's how it, you know Rashi doesn't read the way, but that's how I always thought the Gemara is read. One second. I'm sorry. No. That's right. That is, I'm sorry. I'm jumping. That is Rav Illa and Rav Chanina. Okay. So what was your? No, whether Shina is Kona and this Braisa. They're not arguing. Nobody's arguing. Both of them would presumably pass on that Shina is Kona. They're arguing whether I would say you know. You could read it as saying whether Shina is Kona and this Braisa or not.
No,
I would want to say, the Balei HaTosos would say, they're only arguing whether this type of Shina is Kona. But the Rush would say that Ad Kan Lo Pligi, Elan the Marasav Shina Masa and Shina Kona means in this particular Braisa. In other words, is it that the Braisa is holding Shina Kona, like Beis Hillel? Can you even get away? How does the Rush deal with this line?
actually, I wanted to read this as a good proof to what you were saying in the riff, that the Gemara says here that that Rav Chinuna and Rav Hila are only arguing about Shinui.
And then,
they reject their entire sort of premise for what they're arguing about.
But because they all say Kedemi Karim. No, I agree. I understand that. I'm just trying to see, is there a way to defend the Rush for the moment that this Gemara isn't befeirish against him? See, this Gemara seems to almost befeirish against the Rush. Meaning, the whole point of the Gemara... See, the way the Gemara is framed is very strange. The Gemara says that Adkan lo pli yela the mar sever shinu kone mar sever in shinu kone avala inyan shalume kuleam akidemi kar mishalem. That's not true. I mean, the only reason why Rav Illa says that kidemi kar mishalem is because shinu is kone, according to the Rush. But the Gemara doesn't sound like that. The Gemara sounds like the Machlokas is about Shinu Kona, but everybody agrees, regardless of that, you should pay Kidemi Kara. Which is, by the way, sort of ignoring some of the Shaka Antaria before. But the Maskana here seems to be an explicit rejection of the Rush. I don't know what he would do. I don't know if there's a way around this. I don't know what he would do with this. So anyway, this is really the simple reading of the Balei Tosfos, that Rav Ilan and Chanina are only arguing whether or not this Shinu is Kona, whether Tlevenas Isle is called the Shinu in its Kona or not. But everybody would agree that you pay, when you're talking about some type of a change in the animal, you pay Kedemei Kara Mishalim. So the Gemara now says, isn't that against Rav? You know, isn't that... See, the part is the strange is Lema Tavit Tifted the Rav. Why? I guess Tulam Orayim is not a Tifted against Rav. I think, unless Rabbi Lan and Rabbi Chanina are... No, they're not Tanoim. So maybe, you do have to say like the Rush. That maybe they're only arguing within this Brisa whether or not it's she... No, that'd be strange either. Okay, you have to... It's just strange. It's Lame Tevi Tufte the Rav. But okay. But the Gemara really does sound very much against the Rush. That the way Pepula Charifta says that the Nekudas HaMachlokas is whether or not this Shinui is Kona, but everybody agrees that but when it comes to a Tle, when the change occurs in the animal, the physical change, regardless of whether it's Kona or not Kona, you pay Kedemei Kara. Shalom.
Maybe it's a Tiyuf for Rav, because they're only arguing about the same thing. Meaning the Breita itself is still against Rav.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. In other words, the Brisa says you pay Kedemei Kara. So the only question is whether... Well, no, but how do you explain? Marasav Shinuko and Marasav Ein Shinuko. They only argue about whether the second part is legitimate or not, or what its basis is. Okay, fine. Dal Behe part, right. Right. Okay, yes, that's good. Okay, so anyway... So I think that the reading in the Kudas HaMachlokas in the Gemara really does seem to be, although the earlier part of the Gemara doesn't sound like that, is the earlier part of the Sugya does sound like they're arguing about Torah Ganvi Minach Dicha Ganvi Minach, whether it's a legitimate Svara. But the Maskanas HaGemara presents the Kudas HaMachlokas as whether Shina Kona or Ain't Shina Kona. I mean, the Rush does have Yadayim V'Raglayim in the early part of the Sugya, it's just the Maskana seems to reject it. Okay.
And then the fact that the Tzlai got... Nasa Ayo is rejected as a Shinui is the same logic that we have in the Rambam, that all those processes in the animal aren't Kona. It's the same idea, because if the animal gives birth,
the Rambam says it is Kona, like Rivilla.
The Shinui
is Kona. It's Tlevet Nasa Ayo. Please don't bring in Vados and Jesus here. Okay. Just open the window. I mean, it's warm in here.
Yeah, the
radiator. The radiator's on, I know. So you got to keep the windows open. The windows will do better. Okay. Mordechai, can you reach over and check if that window, is that window openable? The one next to the air conditioner.
Sometimes the one on top of it.
So anyway, all right. Shalom.
I think that exact question we just brought up actually answers for how the Rush might read this. Because it's not saying that the halacha goes against Rav because both Amoraim Haskin that way, but that the Breita still goes against Rav, and that their machlok is only relegated to the second half of the Breita. But it's still, their argument is only about Shinu Kona or not.
I didn't follow. So
meaning we had, if, when we first read this and said that it fits better with the riff because with our reading of the riff because it rejects the I guess the reasons of the Tuamarim when it says that it's Tiufta d'Rav because really Rabbi Elasha fit with Rav. It's not really Tiufta, I guess, Rav because he's only, he would really say that it's not
He fits because once she knows Kona, well, knows you can't tell. He says Kain Shaganav. It's just a question of
only Vishnu is Kona, but that's not what the Gemara is talking about. Really, it's saying that everybody holds that you pay me only because, meaning that the Braita still stands because the reasons only are. Meaning even though, let me reformulate that. When Rav Eli uses his idea that the Braita are the first half, the second half, he could have rejected the other half. He only rejects the second half. So really, for the word of the first half, the word of this is stands. So it's not that the halacha, according to everybody, is the same, but just that the brightness of stands are different. Therefore, they're rejected.
Okay, fine. Okay. Someone, if you open the door, we'll get a nice cross breeze, and we'll all freeze. Okay. Shlomo's got to get his sweatshirt on. He's not feeling well. Okay. Okay. So anyway, okay. Are there any questions more about this sugya? We're not that we have to do the Tosafim, but and any other questions? You heard that? I'm not sure he's not a Tana, but I don't think he is. I think he's an early Eretz Yisrael Amora.
We can prove this. We have the...
Somebody have the... You can check the chart.
I have it.
Okay. So just a little... Yes.
This kind of comes up, I think, in one of the Tosfos, but can you see in the Drash that Zeila V'chaim, that Rav uses, that the Stam attributes to Rav?
Achei L'Karen Kein Shagana?
Yeah.
What's the issue?
What... How does that...
That was a Tosis we did already.
Huh?
The Tosis... We already did that Tosis. Yeah, go ahead.
The one on Samachah
Moral.
I don't know. Actually,
it's... Samachah. Yeah, where? Which Tosis? In Alma, Karen Kein Shaganav. When he flips around, yeah. In other words, he's claiming it's only because of the Drasha Achi, the Karen Kein Shaganav. Yeah, that's the one you mean.
Yeah.
So what about it?
How does that? I just don't understand how that relates to how you pay Karen and Kefal Rav Hamisha.
When the pasuk says that Hashem says that Hagav At Mishar Chamar Tzeh Chayim, so the Tzeh has to be Chayim. You have to be Mechayi the Karen. You have to make sure the Karen is restored to its full value. And that's a case where it depreciated. But only the Karen, not the Kefil Dalvah. I mean, I can't say much more than that. I mean, that's just what the Drasha is.
Why is it only the Karen?
Why? Because the Pasuk only mentions Karen.
Okay.
Since the Pasuk doesn't have to tell you that, it's there to tell you the Diyuk, that Karen, but not Kefil.
Okay.
In other words, it's Sech Chayim, but it's not Shnayim Chayim. Nice rhyme.
Okay, and... How do we know that?
Who is Rabbi Hanina? He has him as a fourth generation Tana. This is not the same Rabbi Hanina.
There's a whole list of Rabbi Haninas here. It goes on for two columns.
Yeah. No. But it's a Stam Rabbi Hanina. I don't think that this Rabbi Hanina, fourth generation Tana. No, this is not a Tana. What about Rabbi Ila? Would be a better. No, there is Rabbi Yehuda's father, but I don't think this is Rabbi Yehuda's father.
Okay.
Il'ah, yeah, which could also mean side. In some Aramaic,
Tzadi.
Yeah, tzadi. Well, ayin lamed ayin, ayin lamed ayin. Well, aleph doesn't go to tzadi, but ayin lamed ayin, both found in Daniel and found in the Targum in last week's parsha for tzelah. You know, that's the origin of a rib, because Chazal don't say it was a rib. Chazal say it was either a tail, or they were created du partzufim, you know, two halves and split apart. But it's the Targumim that say that Chava was created from the rib. So it's in ayin lamed ayin, which is cognate with tsela, and then in some of the Aramaic, the dissimulation of the two ayins, even though there's a lamed in between, you get aleph lamed ayin. So it occurred to me that illa might be actually having related to the word tsela. I don't know what that would mean, but you know, maybe he was a peripheral figure in the base medrash scene. I'm not sure, but
maybe more appropriate for his wife.
What's that?
Be more appropriate
for his wife. Yes. Okay. Who is Rav Illa? And I'm sure it's not Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi's father. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi's father, yes. Who is Eloi? Ben, any luck?
Have references to tell me going to other places. Eloi Ben Elazar. Eloi.
Hey, turn around, let me tell you.
Here's Rabbi Illa. Amora 3.
That's conceivable.
Is that the one? That
it's later than I would like, but not inconceivable.
Eli Tana 4, which would match the other one.
It looks. I mean, that's really odd. And who does he? Who is a big fourth generation of time? I move down. I just want to see who does he? Is that the Usha? Is that Rabbi Huda Rameir? That's well, that's who we I call fourth generation Tana.
Fourth generation
Dar
Tana.
Four is
Dor Rabbi Kiva.
No, that's Rabbi Huda's father, Rabbi Huda Bar Eloi. So I assume it's the third generation Amora. I don't assume. I could be wrong, but I don't assume. No, it can't be. AC Beit Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Allah. It's ridiculous. It's Amorai I'm talking. Forget it. These are Amorai. Yes.
But
Selim
Taylor
has
like
Rabbi Tzadok. No. Selim Taylor
has like Rabbi Tzadok.
Selim means side. Yeah, so at Tzela, the tail would be sort of the, you know, the vertebrae, the bottom, you know, the one that we're missing. Right. That's interesting. How do you do it with the plural? I don't know. Right, I guess when it's du partzufim, he has two sides. You know, what does it mean, Tzela itself? Okay, it would be a bone. It would be a bone at the bottom. Does the Gemara ask that? Look, it's a Gemara name for Daf Yud Ches. Look and see what they say. But anyway, obviously you understand that there's an anthropological element to that medrash to explain why human beings don't have tails. And do chimpanzees have tails? And gorillas have small tails? Small ones? Yeah. Very small, but they have.
Are not born with, but in the womb have tails, and then they lose them.
Phylogeny...
What?
Yeah.
Monkeys all have tails, but I mean, but apes.
I don't think
penguins. No, gibbons. No, because gibbons definitely have tails.
They have the little tiny tails.
Yeah, the fourth ape.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
Enough said. No.
Represents ontogeny.
You don't know about gibbons?
Recapitulates.
Oh, you see, finally we've stumped Chaim. Okay. Fine. Maybe it's just not in Wikipedia. So. Okay.
He'll fix it for
I'm
us.
I'm kidding.
Spotify
okay. I want to, firstly, just a little roadmap as to where we're going. I want to do the Tosasim, and given a number of your comments, some of you had for me, I think it's time for a Chazar and a Bechina. I'm also thinking about the format of this Bechina, which I'm thinking about doing a little bit differently. No, actually, you have to memorize all four blot and recite it word for word.
That's an idea.
I understand. What I would actually, I think I'm doing the following. In the past, those you know, Chadashim Bova Fisa Lekatoris. Okay, this may not be the Katoris part, but in the past, I usually give almost all the questions before, which produces the unfortunate pedagogical result is that people divide up the questions, the Chalukah, and even though Ozzy's not here now, I thought really to do the following, which is to give you, I don't know, 10 to 20 questions, really summing up the major points of Iyun. You know, which I will take some from Bechina, and the rest of it, questions will come from Gemara Rashi Tosa, so you just have to know it. So the only way to chazar it is by chazaring. So it's really from Daf Samach Beis. I'm not gonna put Bekias on this one because we only went a little further, unless people feel you'd prefer it. But what I instead would do is this one will just be from the beginning of the parak until Samach Vav Amar Aleph, where Talayim Kedem Ikar. All we have to do now is Talayim that Tosfos, and not going to do much on it because we've already sort of fleshed it out. So basically, I think that by the end of this week, we should be done with everything we're doing up on these parts, and then we give you Sunday and Monday and Tuesday morning to chaz and have the Bechina Tuesday during shir time, unless people want to do Wednesday morning first thing. I don't want to waste, you know, kill another day of shir, but I would give you that choice. Oh, what should the Oh, yeah, we spent a lot of time in that.
We have
that.
A midrash and another midrash also.
No, I should I no, I'm not going to put it on because that is sort of meant. No, because that was done because you're going to need it throughout the year. You want extra credit now? Are you going to chazir for it? For you, it'll be mandatory. For everybody else, extra credit. Oh, that's right. No. Your bechina is going to be just on the mechilta, okay? And anyway, so I think not. I think we're just going to do it on Gemara, you know, Gemara Shitosis, and then call 20 questions. I don't know if I'll get to 20 questions or not. So probably, so assume that you know by Wednesday at the latest, I want to be finished with this. If we have some time, if we're already finishing tomorrow, we have short shiur Wednesday, you can start your chazar. I wanted the bekiyas on Thursday. It won't be on the bechina, and I'll give you Sunday my chazar, and the bechina will be Tuesday during shiur. No, we'll figure it out where we're up to by the end of tomorrow. Whether it may not be early, but it can be short or whatever it is. So if you already sort of finished, all that's left to do after this, I want you to prepare, is prepare the Tosas and Tlaim Kidameikara. You should always look at Tosas Rabbeinu Peretz also. But that'll be it. So we should be finished no later than Wednesday. Then you'll have at least Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday morning to Chazer. And then Bechina can be Tuesday during Shir. Okay? Good. We all agree? Excellent. Done. No, I usually give you 2 to 3 days. I never give you more than that.
Weekend.
2 days.
Weekend.
So Tuesday, yeah, okay. So that's why for a Wednesday morning, but if you have time on this Wednesday, you're already getting some of your time to chazars. Okay. Good? Excellent. Fine. All right. Now, let's just take a look at Tosas. There's some very interesting points in Tosas. The top Tosas is the one that took me a while to get. It's a little Tosas, but it's a little bit hard, too, I thought. All right, Samachay Omid Beis. I'll also let you know which Tosas I'm responsible for. Because I'm not holding responsible all Tosas, especially Samach Dalet, which I didn't really do most of those Tosas. It's mostly on Samachay and Samach Gimel. But I'll let you know. I'll compile a Tosas list. Okay? And other than that, it's basically Gemara, Rashi. I mean, not so much in Rashi and Tosas. Okay. All right, so let's look at the top Tosas. Can I have someone who hasn't read but feels, you know, interested in reading Yehuda? Can I interest you in... You haven't seen the top Tosas yet? Okay. Okay. Chaim, go ahead. I have nothing against you reading. I'm just looking. You've read, but okay. Kfeilar ba v'chom shazuza... It's an interesting question. What do you call the five books of Moses? An individual book.
A chomesh?
So I will tell you, it is tempting to say it's a chomesh, but, and Ketav Yad Parma 138 does have that, then you know where the word occurs in Mishnah. You have to have a vocalized manuscript of something that would tell you. It's not a biblical Hebrew word. Those of you who learn Mishnah Yizioma will know that when the Kohen Gadol reads, he reads Parshas Acharei Mos. And then he has to turn, but he does it because he doesn't have enough time. He reads Acharei Mos and Emor, but he doesn't have enough time to roll to Pinchas. So he rolls up the Sefer Torah and says to them...
More than what's written.
He says to them, Yeser mima Yeser mima shekosuv kan karisi, or something like that. Yeser mima shekarisi kosuv kan, uve osar shebechomesh or chumash, whatever is hapakudim, kore alpeh. He reads the Musafin from Pinchas Balpeh. So I looked up the word there, and in Ketav Yad Parma 138, the word is in fact. Did I get it right? Where is it? Don't just give me this style.
I'll give you the specific.
I'll give.
Mishnah.
Hire him. Okay. And it says there in Ketav Yad Parma 138, it has Eschomesh. Which would be the hyper-correct pronunciation, or maybe the correct pronunciation, but actually Tavid Kaufman has Chumash. I don't remember if it's a Dagesh or not in the middle letter, but it actually has. So even though we would expect it to be Chumash, it actually, there may be a very old pronunciation. And once you have that, it's already, Tavid Kaufman has it, and it's being pronounced by Ashkenazim that way, it's legitimate. It's not necessarily right, but it's a legitimate alternative. Sorry if it disappoints you. I know. Okay, so, but my point is, they might even be technically correct, okay? So, anyway, so, Kvela Arba, If you put the accent at the end, it's going to be v'chum sha, but if it's at the beginning, it's v'chum sha zuza.
What does it mean chomesh pekudim, though?
It means that's sefer b'midbar.
Oh, of course. Sure.
Okay. Right. And you know, by the way, that the names of the books are I don't want to say they're not goyish, but you know that the Jewish names are Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Even though they sound very goyish, those are the real names. Because those are taken from the Septuagint, which even though our Septuagint probably is meant for Gentiles, certainly was done by Jews, and the traditional view was a Jewish Targum. And what were Chazal's names for the books? Sefer Agula, Toras Kohanim, Sefer Chomesh HaPekudim, and Mishneh Torah. Sefer Agula is Exodus, Toras Kohanim is Leviticus, but Chomesh HaPekudim is Numbers, and Deuteronomy is Deuteronomos, the second law, is Mishneh Torah. So the real names are the ones that sound goyish.
Do means two.
Deuteronomos. It's the repetition of the second law. Yeah.
As in Deutero, as
yeah. Fine. But it's taken from the words two and law. I think it's probably in some form it is. And it's Greek, so you should stick to Latin. I'm not such a bucky in Greek. You know Latin better than I know Greek, but... so anyway.
Sefer HaYetzira and Sefer Yetzia, I thought.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what Chazal's name.
That's the rabbi's name.
I know that in some traditions it's called Sefer HaYashar, but that there are various midrash about that. I don't know. Anyway, so Tosu says, okay, enough. Tosu says, I'm going to stay on top. You hold me to it. You just like raised, you know, wave there. Go ahead. Get Chaim. Now, stop for a second. Rashi says that Chom Sha'olo B'Kfeilo means... How does he explain the words? No. First thing Rashi says... Sha'rei Chomesh L'Balamu V'Hu... One second. Well, our Rashi doesn't quite say it the way Tosfos formulates it. Basically, you pay the Chomesh, you pay the Kefil... and the Chomesh, you're exempted by the Chomesh for that. And Rashi does say that, but not in this language. Now, what would the... Now, so Tosu says, what's the problem with Rashi's interpretation? Chaim?
No.
That's not Tosu's problem with Rashi. What is Tosu's... Not a trick question. What is Tosus' conscience? What is Tosus' question? Rashi answers it.
Why does Rashi answer the question?
Because it's Rashi's question too.
Why don't they just answer
it? It's
the question that Rashi asks.
What commandment? What compels the Gemara to assume that the Chomesh and the Kefil are the same amount? If the point is that Chomesh Ololo B'Kfeilo, that the Chomesh is subsumed within the Kefil, who cares whether the Shavan or the Chomesh is less than the Kefil? And since the Chomesh normally is less than the Kefil, great. Now, on your own, why can that not possibly be what the Gemara means? Why can't that be what Rabbi Yaakov means? This is Ha'ara that Rabbeinu Yeshaya made, and it's quoted in the Tosas Harash as well, I think. I think it's Rabbeinu Yeshaya in the Vatsis. Forget, if you took away the Gemara Shach Levitaria, why can Chomesh Olo Bechvelo, why can it not mean what it sounds like it means? Shalom? Yeah, there are three shittas in the Braisa. One shittah says that you pay Kefel and Asham. And one shita says that you pay kefel and nothing more, not even an asham. And one shita says that you pay kefel v'chomesh for asham. But he says that chomesh olo b'kfeilo. So if by normal situations, Chomesh is always Olo B'Kfelo, because a fifth is always less than one, if that's the case, so what difference, practically speaking, is there between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim? The Imtim Salomar, that if part of it is the Chomesh, that it has to be treated as a Chomesh, and a Chomesh is needed for Kapara, and Kapara is not Nitan L'Mechila, as we know by Truma. By Truma, the Kohen can't be Mochel on the Truma that you have to pay back when you make Bishoge, because it's needed as Kapara. That's very nice, but that's only true by Truma. It's not true by a Chomesh of an Asham, because if you steal money from someone, and you swear to deny that you owe them the money, and now you chayv to pay them back Karen v'chomesh to bring an asham, and you're not allowed to bring the asham until you've paid back the money. If the person is mochel on the money, you can bring the karban asham. You're not chayv to pay the money anyway. How do I know that? Because the Mishnah says beferish in the ninth parak shalom. It says mochel al karen avol mochel al chomesh or mochel al zeh chutz mi shavu pruta shibek karen. The Mishnah assumes it's a davar pashut, that if the nignav is mochel or the nigzal is mochel on that which was stolen from him, that it works. And if he's mochel everything, you can bring your karban, everything's fine. So what's the nafkamina between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim? David?
Can't you have the nafkamina be if you have kapara based up for whichever one is subsumed?
Are you saying, like I said a while ago when we first encountered this, as a kvetch, I said that when you pay, you have to say that this is designated as... Right, you have to say that this is the Chomesh part. Until he's Mochel, it's a Kapara, and you have to designate it as such?
That you can have one amount of money represent both.
Fine, but you have to tell him that it's...
And
that's the whole nafkamina. As opposed to the chacham, you don't just give it to him. You don't have to tell him.
Or that there's some meta.
All right. So yeah, that's. I don't remember what I said last time. Maybe one of the Rishonim, the Shita Bekubetzes, says such a thing, or did I make that up? I don't know. It's a kvetch. So anyway, that would be an inherent problem. But Tosfos' kasha and Rashi is, who cares? Why does the Gemara have to force the Sukkimta to make the Kefel and the Chomesh one and the same? I don't mean one numerically. Why do they have to make them one and the same? You pay the Kefel and Chomesh Ololo B'Kfelo. If what Rashi's saying is correct, that you pay the Kefel and it includes the Chomesh. So why does the Gemara have to force anything to deal with this price? Or better said, why do they think that they can make a diuk for Rav as a proof to Rav? So Tosfos continues, and Mihu, now he explains, he only quoted half of Rashi. When you hear the other half of Rashi, you know what the answer is for Rashi. But I'm just pointing out that without the Gemara's Kvetch, you still have a problem. You still have a problem raised by the other Rishonim, that there's no nafkamina between Yaakov and the Chacham. So Tosfos says, so Rashi gets him out of the problem by saying, no, you know what the nafkamina is between them? The only time, and Rashi said, that's the reason why you have to say that Kefel and Chomesh are the same, they work out numerically the same, is because, and the assumption of the Gemara is the way it reads the Brises, they come out numerically the same, because if they're not numerically the same, you can't say the Kefel pates you from the Chomesh, because it's not Nikar. It's not Nikar. You can't say, I give you $4, and I say, oh, I give you a $4 bill, conceptually, and I tell you that one of the dollars is the Chomesh. Doesn't work that way. If I'm giving you a $1 bill and $1 is the Kefel and $1 is the Chomesh, I can say, here's the Chomesh. But if I'm giving you a $4 bill, I can't say, here's the Chomesh. Or a $2 bill. Okay, that at least exists. Right. Fine. So, the Ihav HaMefaresh, so if we were to say that you pay the Chomesh, if Chomesh Ololo B'Kfelo, O meant Ololo L'Kfelo, the Chomesh that you pay satisfies the Kefel requirement, then I would understand why the Gemara is forced into trying to find a situation where they're numerically equivalent. But Avol, Tosfos says, L'Shon B'Kfelo, It doesn't sound that way. It sounds as if you're paying the kefil and the chomesh is subsumed within it. Not that you're paying the chomesh and the kefil is subsumed within it. No, well, chomesh olalo bikfelo means in within the kefil the chomesh is olalo.
No, the chomesh is in the kefil, meaning they're the same.
No, why? No, beis is just short. I know you could fetch that way. I know you could fetch it, but Tosos then goes on to say, "Vetosefta nami garcia and chomesh olalo mitoch kefilo," and that's what bikfelo also means. The Tosos says it's mashma that way. Mitoch is befeirish. Mitoch suggests that it's a smaller than the kefil. But even chomesh olo bikfelo is the chomesh is he's yotze the chomesh ololo bikfelo within the kefil. So the riva is for you know it certainly doesn't sound like the kefil's ololo the chomesh. Or in other words, that you pay the chomesh and you're exempted from the kefil. So now Tosos has to fetch an answer, and he says, "Riva mefarish." Go ahead.
Riva mefarish. The alashon b'raisa.
The mashma. The mashma. The chomsho. The kol kfeilo. Again,
it.
Yeah, it's a kvetch. I think that the answer, by the way, the best answer, I think, is the one that's given that if you don't have a case where Chomesh can, in theory, exceed. Remember, the Gemara only entertains the possibility of the Chomesh being equal to the Kefil, but you realize the equal, you know, as absurd as it is to state that 1/5 equals 1, it's even more absurd to state that 1/5 is greater than 1. But you could have such a case, supposing that they start out as 8 and it dropped to a value of 1, the Kefil is 1, the Chomesh is 2. So, I think the best terence is why the Gemara was forced to say that the Chomesh and the Kefil can come out to be the same. It's not that the Chomesh and Kefil come out to be the same. It's that the Chomesh and the Kefil, there has to be a situation where, in fact, the Chomesh might be greater than the Kefil, so that there's an afkamina between the Shita of Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim. I think that's the Gemara, it's hard to tell from the Gemara, that's to me the most logically compelling terence. Okay, but there's Rashi's terence that the reason why the Gemara assumes that there must be a shavuos of Chomesh and Kefil is because otherwise you couldn't get your kapara. And the Balei Tosfos, the Riva, thinks that the Lashon HaTosefta sound, the Lashon HaBraisa, not Tosefta, sounds that way. Chomesh olo b'chol kfeilo. And then there's the Teretz of Rashi, and then the Teretz of, it's quoted in Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, I think. Somebody else, Marie Yushai, I think in the Shita Mikubetzes, that if you don't have, I did say that already, right? That if you don't have the same amount, there's no nafkamina, and Rashi Shita, no, I'm sorry, I didn't. If you don't have the same amount, if you don't have a situation where the Chomesh is greater than the Kefil, there's no nafkamina between the Shita of Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim.
I have a question on the last part.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're into this. What can you just say that the difference is, in the Chachamim's opinion, when you do pay kefil, because Chachamim say then you don't pay chomesh, but Rabbi Yaakov seemingly would say you still pay chomesh.
When there's no kefil?
Yeah.
No, everybody agrees you pay it. That's a pasuk.
Everyone agrees that when you don't pay kefil. Yeah,
that's the pasuk. The whole discussion among the Tanaim is normally you pay 1 1/5 or 1 1/4. Now that the Torah is mechayev you to pay kefil, maybe the whole din of chomesh doesn't apply because you're paying more than a chomesh, you know. And Rabbi Shimon goes so far as to say, Rabbi Shimon's bechalal a different bria. Rabbi Shimon says that you don't even bring a karban asham, and he holds that if you get caught by edim before you modeh, the hodah after the edim is not a hodah for Rabbi Shimon. Right? I mean, this is true in real life. Right? If you come in and confess before you're caught, your confession counts for something for leniency. If you're caught by witnesses and then you confess, no one is sympathetic to your confession. You know, it's a cheap confession. So Rabbi Shimon says that you don't have the opportunity for an easy kapara of asham once it took Eidim to get you to fess up. But if you don't have Eidim there, there's no kefil. That's a pasuk in the Torah, more than one place. Naso and Vayikra. Okay. Still in line with that, the next Tosos, Alma Karen Kein Shaganav, Who would like to read this Tosafos? Tosafot. Vamos. Go ahead. Now, just the basic question of this Tosafos. Based upon everything we've said until now, let's assume that what compelled the Gemara to seek a Teretz was the last approach among the Mishonim. Well, no, let's just scratch that. Taking any of the Teretzim, let's assume that all of the Mishonim, what compelled the Gemara to read the Brisa, not assuming that the Kefel is one, the Kefel is four and the Chomesh is one, was that some reason forced the Gemara to think that Kefel and Karen can sometimes, Kefel and Chomesh can sometimes be equal to each other. And based upon that, the only way for Kefel and Chomesh to be equal to each other mathematically is if they're calculated on different bases. And hence the Gemara assumed that, logically speaking, Karen, we know, is going to be based upon, Chomesh is going to be based upon Karen. And Kefel is going to be based upon, not necessarily Karen. It could depend upon a certain time different than the Karen. So what happens? So we assume that obviously, if Chomesh is based upon the Karen, assume that the Karen that you pay is, assume that the Karen that you pay is 4, but it depreciates to 1, so the Kefel is 1, but the Chomesh is a quarter of the original 4, which is also 1. But it should be immediately obvious to you what alternative scenario could the Gemara have posited, which would not have conformed to Rav Shita. Before you read it, because if you think of it, here's rule number one in learning Tosfos. If you think of Tosfos' question before, it's much easier to learn Tosfos. It's also very gratifying. Yes. Fine. It started out as 1. It appreciates to 4. Maybe you pay Kefel Kein Shagana, and Karen Kishas Samada Bedin. And then once again, if the Karen is Kishas Samada Bedin, when it appreciated to 4, a fifth of 4 is 1, and the Kefel would be Kein Shaganav, and the Kein Shaganav here is 1. And so you've answered the Gemara's question. You have Kefel and Chomesh being the same amount. But you haven't proven Rav's din that Karen Kein Shaganav Kefel Vadal Vehikashasa Mada B'din. Fine.
Is it a general rule that Chomesh is only based on Karen?
Yeah, it makes sense.
No, but say we can say that we pick Kefel earlier. I mean, I know Tosa says that you can't say that, but if we could say at this point that Kefel is based on a different time than the Karen is, so why is it that Chomesh necessarily is tied in as well?
No, it's not just in Tosos you're asking the question. I'm trying to think. You know, it's interesting. How do you translate the word Shnayim Yishalem? Right. Well, and it's he pays 2. Could you say he pays twice? Probably. Here's the problem. The Kefel is never described as Kefel of the Karen. If you read Shnayim as twice, then you could say you pay twice, but not the same amount. Chomesh is Chamishi Sav. No, it would have been Pamayim. But the question is, what is? Do we have Pamayim in Tanakh?
We have regalim for times, like in
Shnayim. Right. Which you, by the way, you know, is the same word as palm. Because what is the palm? Palm is the sole of your foot. You know that. Palm bachutz, palm barchavos, yasem la derech pe'amav. Palm is the same word. Palm, it means regal.
Palm or palm?
Palm. It means regal. It's used frequently as the bottom of the foot. So shalosh pa'amim bashana, right? Uh-huh. So you should have said pa'amayim yishalem, I guess. But I'm wondering how they're reading shnayim.
Reglayim yishalem.
Cut his feet off. It's the reversing of the Saudis. They cut your hands off. They cut your hands off. Yeah, cut his feet off instead,
we
right?
I wonder if it was mamash or not.
What's that? it's a good chayim. I'm struck. Thank you. Okay. So I forgot. So, okay, so I can't really go down that route. It's a good question. Why do we know? Unless you say just because it says Chamishi Sav, and that's of the Karen, a fifth of it. You know, it's fifth, as opposed to Shnayim Yishalem, you pay twice, you know, a twofold or something like that. I mean, I don't know. That's a fair question, but that's aside from Tosis. Right? Okay. So anyway, so now what does Tosis say, my reader, whoever my reader is, I forget. David. Go ahead. Yeah, so why don't you just reverse everything? You can come up, you can answer the Gemara's Teretz just as well. You want the Chomesh and Kefil to be equal to each other? Sure, steal it at one, kill it at four, and the Chomesh is one, and the Kefil is one. End of story. So Tosis says, be a Shlomar. In other words, if you're going to reject Rav and you're going to reject his drasha, what is the rule going to be? What? Karen and Kefel and Dal Vehei all are together. Whatever it is, Shasa Geneva, Shasa Madabedin, they all have to go together. This, I mean, is you realize that only in a legal construct could you possibly say that Dal Vehei isn't that you pay, you know, you pay $100 for the behema and then you pay another $60 as the fourfold. Right? You think about it. It's on the surface, it seems utterly and totally ridiculous. So I don't think it is ridiculous. It's a legal concept, but it's strange. I mean, you do have to acknowledge, Tosis is saying here that the basic premise is that you pay, whatever you pay four or five times, you pay, let's put it this way, you could wind up with something that's not divisible by four or five when you pay Dal V'Hei, and that's pretty funny. You multiply, imagine that for the arithmeticians here, if I may call them that. You don't have to be a mathematician. It's arithmetic, not math. You know, arithmetic is just adding and subtracting, multiplying numbers. Mathematics means, you know, theory and whatever. So for my arithmeticians here, or my mathematicians here, so you multiply a number by four or by five. You multiply a number by four, but then it's not divisible by four. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, 4x divided by 4. It's not a it's not a rational number. It's not a whole number, right? It's not... What's that?
X isn't a whole number. It's not a large.
Well, what's that?
X is not a whole number.
Yes. Okay. We'll have to say, multiply x by 4 and then divide by 4 and not get x. That's also strange, right? Yeah, so it's you have to Tosis here, and the funny thing is you get to, and so Tosis here is doing a little bit of reality check. If not for a specific drasha, there's no way you could get away with saying this. So if you don't hold like Rav and you don't have his plastic darshan that way, then you're up a creek without a paddle. So the only thing that would make sense would be Rav. That's what Tosis says. Then he gives another Terence. Rav says, Rav Nami, the Mechalek can't even shun the Krakadarish. We owed the other issue. See, this, by the way, methodologically speaking, is always the monkey wrench in making arguments from silence. I should learn the Latin term for that. It's a term for it. Something silencio or something like that. Sound fancier. That there you go. Okay, that's probably right. That is how it's argumentum ad. What's the ad silencio? Right. In other words, the argument from silence. You know, which is why is it an argument from silence? Because the Gemara never was docha by saying maybe it's the reverse. The Gemara was...
It's not ab.
Ab, okay.
That's the other argument. Until.
Whatever it is.
Adam.
Okay, whatever it is. So, I thought that was just the Hebrew cognate with ad. No. Yes. Okay, you pulled a good one on me. So, Tosa says that why are you bothered by this question? Because the Gemara didn't ask it. So, Tosa says, you know what? Gemara could have asked it, but it had a different teretz. It played along with it. So, the od the belav hachi dachi shaper v'noach lo kefi ims. Okay, another noach lo kefi ims I think means because we do pasuk like Rav, so you'd rather try that way, and then but we docha with something else, and then the Gemara wanted to say in the way that the original person thought you couldn't answer it, a standard type case, and so gave that teretz. Okay. All right, so the plan, we'll try tomorrow, hopefully get mostly the way through. When you do Tosfos on Tlayim, on Samech Vav Amud Aleph, please take a look at Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz as well. For the most part, they sort of encompass everything. He even quotes Shittas Rabbeinu Chanana, which, by the way, Rabbeinu Chanana sounds a whole lot like our view about Nispat Mamela, Balei Tosfos. And it's very strange if the Rif disagreed with Rabbeinu Chanana, like the Rush would claim he's doing. It's strange that the Rif didn't quote Rabbeinu Chanana, because the Rif quotes Rabbeinu Chanana frequently. And the fact that he doesn't would lead me to assume that he adopts the same position. Again, that's an argumentum ab silentio, but so it's not a raya, but nonetheless, it's one more little piece to the pile. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm almost certain he does. We've seen cases. Okay. Yes, he does. He quotes some of the Tumsug in Shabbos.
What is that?